Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Welcome to Bible Storytime. Today's story is found in John chapter 11, the death of Lazarus. Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. His sisters Mary and Martha were devout followers of the Lord. So when Lazarus was ill, they called to Jesus, asking him to come and heal Lazarus. But Jesus waited. After a couple of days, he told the disciples he was going to go to Bethany. Now Bethany was only 2 miles from Jerusalem. The disciples thought it was too dangerous for him to go there, but Jesus was not afraid. He knew that God would protect him if he did the Father's will. When Jesus arrived, Martha met him on the road. She told Jesus that Lazarus wouldn't have died if he had come sooner. But she also added that she still believed the Father would do anything Jesus asked him. Her faith was very strong. Jesus said Lazarus would live again. Martha replied that she knew he would rise again on the last day. Jesus answered, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Martha said yes. She believed Jesus was the Messiah. Then Martha went back and sent Mary to Jesus. She also told Jesus that Lazarus would not have died if he had come sooner. The other Jews gathered around and wondered why this great healer didn't heal his good friend. Jesus was greatly upset and asked to be shown where Lazarus lay. He told them to take away the big stone that blocked the tomb. Martha protested that it was too late, the body would be decaying already. But Jesus reminded her of the glory of God. Jesus thanked the Lord for answering his prayer so that the crowd would believe God had sent him. And he cried in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And when he came out of the tomb, he was still wrapped in burial clothes. Lazarus was raised from the dead. The end.
Good morning to my Vintage Faith family. I am so excited to be with you this morning. I'm so excited to share what the Lord has put in my heart to share with you guys this morning. So like the felt board said, we are talking about the death and the resurrection of Lazarus today. So I want to pose a question right off the bat is, what stood out to you about this story? This is the question that I love to pose to our youth kids when I'm preaching to them, when we're in life group, is what stood out to you about that story? So I actually took this question to my friends on Instagram, and a couple responses that I got from them, as you're commenting down in the chat, as you're maybe whispering to your neighbor next to you, this is a couple things that some people said. As someone said, "He knew he would raise him, yet he still grieved and felt emotion." That's good. "Jesus made a bold move in the midst of deep emotion." Somebody said that if we believe, God will do the miraculous. Only he can make the dead things come to life. Someone else said, "So many of us still walk around bound and wearing grave clothes." Other people said that all of the glory of God is to be shown. So these are just a couple of just things that came to people's mind when they read that story. Now I have a couple of points that came to my mind when I read this story as well. We'll get into that in a second. So when I picked out my Bible story a couple months ago, I think I had a really different idea of what I was going to share with you guys this morning, but I had no idea of the journey that the Lord would lead me on to share with you all. When I sat down to start writing my sermon a couple weeks ago, I thought about how there was something that was just so profound that I saw throughout my whole entire life that relates to this story. Throughout my whole life, my grandpa, he would, every time before he walked out the door, every single time, no matter if he just walked out an hour ago, no matter if it's for the first time of the day, for the last time of the day, is he would stand at our door and he would say a prayer between him and God. He would stand there every single time and it never failed. And sometimes we're like in a rush trying to get out of the door and I'm like, "Grandpa, come on, like speed it up a little bit." But that was his routine, is he prayed every single time before he went out the door. Whether things are going great in his life, whether things were going bad in his life, whether maybe him and my grandma were fighting, maybe me and my grandpa were fighting, me and my mom were fighting, no matter what was going on in my grandpa's life, is he never failed to stand at the door and pray before he walked out of the door. The reason that I bring up this story is because when I look at the story of Lazarus, as I was reading this story, I was reminded of no matter what God was doing in my grandpa's life, he never stopped praying. And that can be hard. If any of you have been following Jesus for a long time or even a short amount of time, it is really hard to thank Jesus when we are just struggling through, when we are in the muck, when we are just in just really hard season. It is hard to thank God. But my grandpa did it so diligently. And that was one thing that I was reminded of when I sat and read this story. And I think it was something that the Lord was speaking to me to share with you guys. The three points that came to mind that I want to share with you guys, well, the one point and the two questions was this: Jesus raises us from the dead places of our lives. So that's one point. This first question then is, but what happens when he is in the middle of it and we have to wait? And then the last thing, what happens when he doesn't raise the dead places of our lives when we want him to, or the way that we want him to? So the first point, Jesus raises us from the dead places of our lives. When we look at this story and we read the story of the death and resurrection of Lazarus, as we see in verse 4, Jesus says this: "This sickness will not end in death. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. Even when we know that there is an end to the season, it doesn't make it any easier to walk through. Just because we know that the storm is going to end doesn't make it any easier to sit and walk through the storm. As soon as Jesus heard of Lazarus being sick, his response to this was, "It will not end in death." But just because he says that, and he knew that was going to happen, doesn't mean that Lazarus dying wasn't going to be hard. Just because Jesus knows what's going on in our lives and he can give us that promise at the end doesn't mean that it's going to be hard as we walk through it. Now, this is something that is hard for me to sit with. This is something that I think in all the years that I have had this strong relationship with Jesus, it doesn't make it any easier. Even as I sat down to write this sermon and the Lord was putting on my heart all these different things to share with you guys, I really struggled because I was like, wow, this is heavy. This is hard stuff to walk through. And if any of you guys know me, you know that I love to joke. I love to have a good time. I love to soften the blow with some jokes, but this isn't that. And as I was like, are you sure you want me to share this? Like, my gift in public speaking is because I get to make people laugh. I love to make people laugh. And this maybe isn't going to do this for some people. This is definitely not doing it for me. So this, as I share this with you guys, I want you to know that I'm standing with you in this, that it is hard, even when I know that this rough season is going to end, it is still hard to walk through it. And I just think about how many times in our life does Jesus see the bigger picture, but because we don't see it, we feel like God isn't listening to us. We feel like God isn't there for us. In this story, we see Lazarus' sisters could have known that he was going to be raised from the dead, but because that is such a crazy idea, because that's such a crazy concept, they could have known, but it still wasn't going to make things easier. And the truth of this story is that they didn't know that. When he died, I'm sure that they sat there and they thought, this is it. Jesus wasn't here. Jesus didn't heal him. This is the end of his story. This is the end for us. So how many times do you think that happens in our lives? How many times do you think that Jesus sees the light at the end of the tunnel. He sees how this story is going to end, and it's going to end for our good. But because we don't see it there, we feel like God's just not there. We feel like he is not going to bring us through this because we can't see it. We're so fogged by the pain and the hurt and the roughness of some seasons. I mean, I look at the last year and a half of our lives, is we knew that at some point it would end. But when we were in March of last year, when we were on full lockdown, we could not even fathom what that was going to look like. We could not even think about what a world without masks were gonna look like because we were so thick in it that we couldn't see the end. And that's what happened in this story, is that Lazarus died and Jesus wasn't there. Something that I think about that happens with us as just Christians is we think that because we follow Jesus, our life isn't going to be hard. I know I am the biggest, I do that all the time, is I think, but I love Jesus. My life shouldn't be this hard, but I love Jesus. Why is this so hard? Why is walking with Jesus so hard? And I think as Christians, sometimes we think because we follow Jesus, our lives are going to be easy. We think that it's going to be rainbows and butterflies and unicorns and all the happy endings in the world. But the truth is, and I'm sorry I have to say this, is that it's actually the opposite. As Christians, we choose to follow Jesus. And that means that we are choosing to have faith in things that we can't see. We are choosing to run after Jesus when it doesn't look pretty. When our lives are sticky and messy, as we wake up every morning and we choose Jesus. I think bigger than even that, is that when things don't work out the way that we want them to, or the way that we think that they should, we think, well, we must be doing something wrong. I must be doing something wrong. When the cards aren't aligning exactly the way that I want them to, exactly the way that I'm expecting them to, I think, well, it must be me. I must have failed. But I can give you this good news. That is not true. That is so far from the truth. Is when things don't work out the way that we want them to, is because they're going to end even better than we can imagine. Lazarus didn't have to die for God's glory to be shown. But Jesus took this tragedy and he made it for God's glory to be shown for those around him so they could believe, so they could have hope that their story isn't going to end in death, but it's going to end in life. So what does this mean for us? This means that we can lean into Jesus and have faith that Jesus came to the earth to be the resurrection life. Verse 25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. That's the bigger picture here, is even far beyond how our season is going to end, is the bigger picture is that when we have a faith in Jesus, when we put our hope in Jesus, he promises us eternal life. He promises us a life that is fulfilled in heaven. So even when things don't work out the way that they are here on earth, is we have a bigger promise. We have a bigger experience of joy waiting for us in heaven. It's Jesus who does that for us. He's the one who turns our situations around. We can't do it for ourselves. I don't know about you guys, but I am the queen of thinking that I can fix everything. I constantly think that everything in my life, I can find the solution for. I think that I can do it on my own strength. And the sad realization that I have to come to every time is that I can't do it alone. I need my community. I need Jesus. I need my community to correct me, even when it hurts so badly, is I need Jesus. We all are in such desperate need of Jesus. It's not anyone else in our lives. It's Jesus who raises those dead places in our lives. It's Jesus who brings those seasons to pass. It's not our friends. Although our friends are important and our community is important, they can't do that for us. It's Jesus. It's not our parents. Even if you're a parent, you can't save. As a youth pastor, I would love nothing more than to be able to sit there and give the solution to every single one of my youth kids that is struggling. But the reality is that I can't. It's not our pastors who can bring the season to pass and can raise those dead places of our lives. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. It's not about what we do to get ourselves out of these situations. It's about who we believe in. I'm going to say that one more time. It's not about what we do to pull ourselves out of our situations, but it's about who we believe in. And who we believe in is Jesus. Now, I want us to take a minute to think about an area in our life that we are thankful that God raised us out of. What is something we are thankful we overcame? So maybe for some of us, as we think of that question, as that question was posed, maybe we can't think of anything that we're thankful that God pulled us out of, that we're thankful that we overcame. Maybe when I posed that question, all you could think about was the long list of things that you want Jesus to pull you out of. You want Jesus to fix. You want Jesus to come before you and take you out of that. Because that is the reality for a lot of us, is that we are in this season where we're like, everything keeps going wrong. Nothing is for me. I feel like everything is against me. And I want you to know that if that's you, if you couldn't think of something that you are thankful that you overcame because you're like, I'm still waiting for that, is that there is good news for you too, that Jesus is still the same to you. Jesus, who is raising these people out of these dead places of their lives, is still for you. And that brings me to my next point, is what do we do when we're waiting for Jesus to raise the dead places of our lives, to take us out of those situations? This is the part that we call the waiting season. Now, Anna shared with us a couple weeks ago all about this. And what I want us to do right now is either raise your hand or comment down below if you've ever been waiting. That's none of you guys, right? Nobody's ever been waiting for anything. No, but we all have. I have been waiting for. In full honesty, I feel like I'm in a little bit of a waiting season right now. And what I want to share with you guys from that is, what do we do when we're in that waiting season? What do we do when we're in the middle of the yuck and the messiness? What do we do? For Mary and Martha in this story, they were in the waiting and they didn't even know they were in the waiting because they thought, oh, that's it. That's the end of it. Lazarus is gone. There's nothing else to wait for. For them in their waiting season, they cried, they mourned. I would even go as far as saying is they may have started to learn to go on without their brother. So what do we do in our waiting season? We should cry. We should be sad. We should be frustrated. But we should also turn to God in those moments and say, what do you want me to learn from this? And if nobody has told you that in your hard situation, you have permission to be sad and frustrated, I'm telling you right now, God is giving you permission to be sad in your waiting season, to be frustrated, and to maybe ask those hard questions to God as, why is this happening? I am a strong believer that in the waiting is where we do the most transformation. I think it's the season for us to lean into Jesus and ask those really hard questions that we are scared to share with anyone. Jesus wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to be there for you when you're rejoicing, but he also wants to join you and sit with you in the muck, in the hard, in the busy. He wants to be there for you. The only way that we can grow closer to God is if we have those hard conversations with him. The only way to grow closer to God is if we're curious about why are things happening the way that they do. When we look at this story, verses 33 through 35 says this, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Jesus didn't say, oh man, that really sucks for you. Oh, that is so sad for you. You must be really sad. He sat with them in the sadness and he cried. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this idea of when I am in one of the lowest places of my life, when I am in a low place, and I imagine Jesus sitting there with me, and he is weeping with me, there is just this comfort that comes over me. Now, I don't know who needs to hear this today, but in your sad place, Jesus is there with you. He is in the middle of your muck waiting for you, waiting with you to get out to that next season. He grabs a hold of us and he cries with us. He didn't say, see you on the other end. He acknowledges that this was sad and he cries with them. But Jesus knew that he was gonna raise Lazarus from the dead. Is he knew, but he didn't forget to acknowledge Mary and Martha and the Jews' feelings. When I think about this, I think about another story. I think about the story of Noah and the flood that happened in Genesis. And at the end of that flood that happened, Jesus promised that he would never flood the earth again. And here's what Genesis 9 says. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and all of the creatures on the earth. I bring this up because just because we know that there's a rainbow at the end of this storm doesn't mean that it's gonna be easy. I want us to take a minute to think about what rainbow are we waiting for? What rainbow at the end of this storm are we waiting for? Now you don't have to answer it, you don't have to share it with anyone. I want us to really hold on to that and think, what rainbow, what promise are we waiting for to be fulfilled? Now take that and think of that, hold on to that and release it to God. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same when he raises the dead places of our life. He is the same when we're in the waiting for that. And he is the same when he doesn't raise those dead areas the way that we want them to. So my last point is this. What happens when the season is over and Jesus didn't raise the dead places of our lives the way that we thought they were? Now, first of all, I want to say, I don't have the answer to this. I don't have the answer of why Jesus raises some of the dead places of our lives and not others. I wish I did. I wish that I had the answer for you all. But what I can say is that I have walked through many seasons that have ended with joy, and I have walked through many seasons that have not. But no matter what, I have seen and I have experienced the glory of God in both situations. So if you, I don't know who needs to hear that hope today, but there is hope in your season that if it ends the way that you want it to, or even if it doesn't, God's glory is still gonna be shown. Just like this story, Mary and Martha wanted it to be this miraculous moment of Jesus coming and healing his brother right there and then. But it didn't end that way. He had to die, be dead for a little bit, and then Jesus came and raised it. There was no way for Mary and Martha to think that that's how the story was gonna end. They thought that it was gonna be in the moment when they wanted, it was gonna be healing, but it was bigger and better than they could even imagine. And that's the good news for you today, is God might not end this season, this storm, the way that you want it to, but his plans are bigger and greater and better than you can even imagine. I think about last year winter camp is for our youth kids, we took our youth kids to winter camp. And when we got there, I probably gave them the worst news of their life is I gave them this news, myself and our leaders decided that we were gonna take their phones from them for the weekend because we really wanted them to unplug. We really wanted them to engage with one another. We wanted to prevent any distractions that could come against what the Lord wanted to do in their lives. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever taken a phone from a teenager, but you would think that I ripped their arms off of their body. They were devastated. They were twitching. They were crying. No, but they were pretty devastated that I did that. But what they didn't realize was that how much it was going to benefit them. By the end of the weekend, most of the kids were like, wow, I didn't know how much my phone was a distraction to me. Without my phone, I actually was able to get to know people that I didn't know before. I was actually able to engage with what God had for me. I was able to engage with other people I was able to really experience what God had for me this weekend. So as the adult in their life, as their youth pastor who loves them so deeply, I made that decision because I knew that it would benefit them. I say all of this because sometimes we are all teenagers and God is taking away our phones because he knows it is good for us. We can't see it. We can't even imagine what our lives could be without our phones. But God knows that it's going to benefit us in the long run. The rainbow of God's promise still stands, even when it doesn't work out the way that we want it to. Jesus is the same as when he works out the situations exactly the way that we want it to. He is the same when it doesn't. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we all know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." It doesn't say God works things out exactly the way that we want them to. It says he works them for the good. Now, the good, sometimes our good is different than God's good, but every time it is better than we can ever imagine. Now that's hard. It's easy to say that. And some of you might be thinking, Ayla, that's really easy to say. It's really easy for you to encourage us in that, but it's really hard to live out. And I agree. It is so hard to get through really dark seasons, even when we know that after the storm is gone, the clouds are going to be parted and that rainbow that God promised us is going to show up. We might even be able to start slightly seeing the rainbow in the midst of the clouds. And that might show us that it's obtainable, but it's not quite here yet. And even then, we're just wanting to run and we're running to just get through the end of that season. But when we're in the middle of that, God really wants to teach us how to mourn, how to be sad, and how to cry, how to be frustrated. But in that, he wants us to come to him because he's going to comfort us. He's going to cry with us, even when he knows that he's not going to work it out the exact way that we want it to. But just like this story, it's going to be better than we can even imagine. So the question that I want to leave you with today is, what is a dead area in your life that you would like Jesus to raise? What can we release to God today? I really want us to sit on that question, and that's the question that we're gonna close with today, is what is a dead area in your life, what is a really hard season that you want Jesus to raise you out of, that you want that situation to be raised? It could be anything. It could be you want your kids to know the Lord. You want your family to know the Lord. You want to come out of this depression. You want to come out of this anxiety. It could be anything. But what is that for you? Jesus, I thank you for the dead areas in our life that you have raised. And I thank you that your promise still stands even when it doesn't work out the way that we want it to. I thank you that you have come to be the good news to us. You have come to be the resurrection and the life. Maybe not here on earth, but in heaven. You have promised a greater life for us. I thank you, Jesus, for every single person that's under the sound of my voice, every single person, whether you're online or in person. I thank you for bringing them here and giving them that good news today. I ask that for those of us who are in, we are just in those dark situations, that you remind us that you are not just pulling us out of those situations, but you are sitting with us. You are crying. You are frustrated with us. We just thank you that you are with us, God. You are with us in the hardships and you are with us in the joy seasons of our life. I ask that you hear every single prayer that is lifted up to you, every single dead place that has been placed before you right now, that you see that and you grab a hold of that and you give them hope that you are still the same, that you love them, that you are with them, and you are never going to leave them. I thank you, Jesus, for who you have come to be for us. I thank you, God, that you have sent your son to be good news, to be the resurrection life. I thank you for what you're doing in the life of every single person who's hearing this message today. We give you all the glory and all the praise, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
That was awesome. What a great word from Pastor Ayla. Thank you so much for joining us. And remember, be the church.